Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Remember from yesterday, we had the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. Reish Lakish suggested that a person can only be matis in the Rishon, right, when it is toch kedei dibur, within the toch kedei dibur. And we saw yesterday on machlokes that Rishonim, how many people can be matis within toch kedei dibur. Saw that Mafari says that it's only two people, vani vani. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. So it's two people that can be matis. And Rabbi Yehuda Nisia is going to argue and say, no, it's three people that can be matis, because when you say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, it's not just Shalom Alecha, but Shalom Alecha Rebbe. And those are three words. So three people can be matis, not just two. Whereas the other Rishonim, like the Tosafot and the simple way to read the Rush, they suggest that Reish Lakish believes that you can have three people, Toch Kedei Dibur matis, with the first. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Nisia argues on Reish Lakish and believes that you don't have to have just Toch Kedei Dibur, because Toch Kedei Dibur is the ability of the Talmud to speak to his Rebbe and say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and then he gets the additional moment afterwards to complete whatever he was in the middle of. And based on that, he would be able to get, four people would be able to get in Toch Kedei Dibur Va'ani and be Matis Berishon. So that's according to a simple way to understand the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. According to the Mefarish, it's two and three, that's their machloket. But according to the Mefarish, it's all toch kedei dibur. I mean, what is toch kedei dibur? Reish Lakish is going to say Shalom Alecha, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Nisia is saying Shalom Alecha Rebbe, so there are three words instead of two words. And the other Rishonim say, no, Shalom Alecha Rebbe is three words, and that's what Reish Lakish believes are the number of people toch within the kedei dibur that can be matis for Rishon. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Nisia believes that it's four people. Why is it four people? Because toch kedei dibur is not the amount that determines how much is still within the context of the first person, but rather it's toch kedei dibur plus the moment afterwards, because that's the ability, the whole idea of toch kedei dibur is you can give shalom to the Rebbe and then continue what you were doing before. Now the Gemara says, on the top of Chaf Avonah, Tanya Nami Hocha, we have a braisa that seems to support the position of Reish Lakish. Misha Amar Reini Nazir, Vishama Chaveiro, someone said that I'm going to be a Nazir and his friend heard about it, but Shoah kedei dibur, and he waited a kedei dibur, Amar Va'ani. And then he says, me too. Hu asur v'chaveiro mutar. The original person who said, Areni Nazir, he's asur, he took a full net of nazirut. The chaveiro who tried to say v'ani is mutar. Why? V'kama kedei dibur, kedei shelet shalom, tami the rav. That's the amount of time it takes for a Talmud to say shalom to his Rebbe. So now, seems to be like Reish Lakish, because it says the only people that are allowed to be matis here are Toch Kedei Dibur. I mean, this person or this friend who was a moment after the Toch Kedei Dibur was not able to be matis with the first person. So it sounds like Reish Lakish and not like Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. Then the Gemara continues, Lema Misayile. We have another support or possible support for Reish Lakish, because our Mishnah, Misha Ramar Harini Nazir, Vishama Chaveiro. Then it was heard that a person saying Harini Nazir, and then his friend heard of Ramar Vani. Ve'ani. Right? So then in our Mishnah, it says that two people could be matis on the Rishon, because it says v'amar v'ani, v'ani. And then all of those are nazirim. So the Gemara says, it says v'tulo, and no more. So it only says v'ani, v'ani twice, and not three or four times. So now, according to the Mefarish, the question of the Gemara is very clear, because the Mefarish believes that Reish Lakish says that two people can be matis for Rishon, and Rabbi Yehuda Nisia says three people can be matis for Rishon. So therefore, our Mishnah sounds like Reish Lakish, and not like Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. And therefore the question for the Mishnah says Vani Vani twice. That sounds like Reish Lakish and not like Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. According to the Tosos, or the simple interpretation of the Rosh, that the Machlokes in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nisia is between three and four, then why is the Mishnah any more support for Reish Lakish than it is for Rabbi Yehuda Nisia? Our Mishnah says two, Reish Lakish says three, and Rabbi Yehuda Nisia says four. Why is the Mishnah any better for Reish Lakish than it is for Rabbi Yehuda Nisia? It says like neither of them. So if you look in the Tosfot of Lema Misayle, he explains why, according to his position, our Mishnah is still a good proof. It's the Tosfot on the narrow lines, Lema Misayle, Misha Amar Reini Nazir Masnitani. Tani Vani Betulo. The Rabbi Yehuda Nisia Masnitani Mitne Vani Vani Arba Pe'amim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, it should have written Vani four times. Why is it any better for Reish Lakish? If you could, it should have written it three times. It only wrote it two times. Right, that the writing 2 verses 3 to Reish Lakish is no difference. Meaning 2 or 3 is the same chiddush. What is the chiddush? Lashmina, the gamar sheni nitpas perishon, that even the second one who says vani is still connected to the first person because he is toch kedei dibor. Even though there's another person who interrupts them, ben rishon lashlishi. V'hu adin, and the same would be true if you added on another person. Another person would also be toch kedei dibor, and there would be somebody interrupting between them. So the difference between 2 or 3 to Reish Lakish, there is no chiddush or more chiddush by saying 3 than there is saying 2. They teach you the same din. One din is if you're toch kedei dibor of the rishon, it works. And number 2 is that even if there's somebody in between you and the hadpasa of the rishon, that it doesn't interrupt and you're let be mappis. So for him, there's no reason to write 3 versus 2. Whereas for Rebbe, that's not true. Shemar v'ni apis perishon. Dein shum svar l'chalik fin shein l'shlishi. Shishneim omdim toch kedei dibor. Rabbi Yehuda nesiyo. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a big chiddush. E to the revi. Nami nitpas perishon litnei. That you should, according to Rabbi Yehuda nesiyo, you should write all 4 of them. Why? Because the fourth one is a much bigger chiddush. The fourth one is a chiddush that even outside of toch kedei dibor, he could be mappis perishon. Because Rabbi Yehuda nesiyo believes it's not just toch kedei dibor, but even the moment afterwards. So mentioning the fourth one is a big chiddush versus the first 2 or 3. The first 2 or 3 are toch kedei dibor, so they're all the same type of chiddush. But when you get to number 4, even though he's outside of toch kedei dibor, that would be a chiddush to mention it. So therefore, the Gemara here is asking a question on Rabbi Yehuda nesiyo and not from Reish Lakish on our mission. I think our mission is a support for Reish Lakish and not for Rabbi Yehuda nesiyo. So now the Gemara continues and says, Tanaki ruchel lechashiv elezo. The Gemara says, well, what do you want the mission to do? To keep enumerating endlessly the number like a merchant that goes around and selling wares? Meaning that the mission gave an example, vani, vani. You want him to go on vani, 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 vani 4 times? That's just not the normal way that the Tana works in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyo, why write 2? 2 for Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyo is no better than 1. Ve'litnei chada. Litnei chad, according to the Gemara, write 1. Lishmeinan hachit. Right, then you will explain that from there. We'll understand everything. So the Gemara says, "En Hochanan." You're right. You could have written 1, and it'd been just as good as writing 2 for Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyo. Why did I write 2? Because a parallel structure with the second half of the Mishnah. Shunik Tani Seifa. The later part of the Mishnah says, "Hutar Rishon, Hutru Kulam, Hutra Achron, Achron Mutar V'Kulan Asurim." Mechal Dikayim Soi. The fact that the Mishnah enumerates a Rishon and an Achron in the next part of the Mishnah, it's mashma that you have a first, a last, and a middle. That means that there seems to be that there are 3 people involved here. The person who takes the net in Zirut, and then 2 additional people. So that's why the Mishnah says, Harani Nazir plus Vani Vani. That gets you 3 people. That gets you a Rishon, an Achron, and an Emtsoi. So because of that second part of the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah gets 3 people involved. Umshum Hafik Tani Vani Ve'ani. And now the Gemara moves on to a question. What the question is over here is, simple what the question is, but what does it have to do with the Gemara before? I'm not going to have to explain that. The Gemara asks a question. When a person says ve'ani, and then the next person after him says ve'ani, that third person, you have a first person who said harei nazir, you have a second person who says vani, and a third person says vani. That person, when he says vani, is he connecting back to the original person? Is he matpis birishon? Or is he matpis on the second? Meaning that the third person now connecting himself and saying, oh, Vani, the second one now said, I am a Nazir. The third one says, Vani, I am like number 2. Not like I'm number 1, but I'm like number 2. Lamai nafkamina. Of course, what is the nafkamina between them? Let's busay mezal. How long can you keep this going? If you believe that everyone is matpis, yamart bechabri matpis, right? Matpis and vazlin liolam. If you think that each subsequent person who says Vani is connected to the person before him, not to the original, no there. Then you can keep this going forever. Because as long as you're toch kedei dibor, the last person who accepted his zirut on him, you can keep going and going and saying vani. Whereas, v'yamar b'kamim itpaseit, v'yamichtei dibor, lo matpisinon, that you have a limit. If you say that it's referencing back to the original person who took the nether in the zirut, then you'll have a limit. The only toch kedei dibor within the amount of time it says to say shalom alecha Rebbe from the first person, are you able to be matpis with this individual? Once you get past that time frame, you're out of luck. You can't use him as the Neder Nezirut and say Vani. It won't work. So now, this Gemara, when the Gemara is asking this question, who is this? Is this a support or a question on Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyo? So according to the Mefarish says, V'lo k'Reish Lakish. This is not like the position of Reish Lakish. So actually, this works well. Yesterday we tried to give alternative explanations in the Ran, that the Ran says that's exactly the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. That Reish Lakish believes that your maftis berishon, and therefore you have to be tachadei dibor. And Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah says, according to the way that we read the Rosh says, the mechubar the tachadei dibor, ke tachadei dibor, no, as long as you're attached to something that was tachadei dibor, it's as if you get back to the original tachadei dibor. When we read the Rosh that way, the machlokis between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah is whether your maftis on the rishon, or you are a daisy chain down the road of a maftis bechabre. So then, when the Gemara asks this question, then the question is, and it will not be like Reish Lakish, or do we say, like that Pusei Rishon, and it is like Reish Lakish, so we can understand that. Now, in the Mefarish himself, it's hard to explain why it's not like Reish Lakish, and then, therefore, the Gemara of Mirinsheberg actually changes the girsa to read, V'haka Reish Lakish, and this is like Reish Lakish, meaning that this is the Kavano of Reish Lakish. When he says, Tochede Dibur, what does it mean? Now, according to the way we explain the Rosh, and I think the Tosfos Reed learned similarly, you would say over here that Ibailu, the question is, do we go like Reish Lakish, or do we go like Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah? And when the Gemara comes to a conclusion, it's concluding either like Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. The other way to learn, and I think that's the simple way to learn the Tosfos, and maybe the simple way to learn the Rosh and the Mefarish here, is that this question is independent of the Machlokis of Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. Meaning that no matter what you hold, Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah holds, they can have application whether it's Mathis Berishon or Mathis Chad Bechavre. It's just a question of how much time do you have after the either Rishon or the last person to say it. So according to Reish Lakish, you can be Mathis Nerishon Tochadei Dibor, or you can be Mathis Bechavre. You can keep this daisy chain going as long as you're Tochadei Dibor, the last person who said Vani. Or Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah says alternately, no. Either if you say it's Mathis Rishon, you have just after, you have the moment after Tochadei Dibor to do it. Or, if you are Matis Bechavre, you have the moment after Tochadei Dibor to still be within context of the last person who took a Nedir Zirut. So this question would be, and the answer to this question would be independent of the Machlokes of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. And now the Rosh, just to point out here, that the Rosh learns that this continuation, the Bailuhu, is actually a continuation of the answer that the Tana Kiruchla. The Rosh explains that when the Gemara rejected the proof from our Mishnah to Reish Lakish versus Rabbi Yehuda, why would the Artana continue to daisy chain and say Avani Vani four times? That's because our Mishnah believes Chad Bechavre Mitzpas, that one to the other Mitzpas. So therefore, he doesn't have the problem. No matter how many Vanis he writes, it's not going to matter because it has no reference back to the Rishon. Because he believes Chad Bechavre Mitzpas. If he is Chad Bechavre Mitzpas, then it's not relevant how many Vanis he writes because he's not telling you the duration from the first person until this point. So if you look in the Rush, he says, if you look, I'll just read it out loud here, the Rosh, Afilu I Havatani Dalit, even if he had wrote four times Vani, Loshmein Imei, the Samach Lekdei Dibur Kedibur Dami, it wouldn't have been a support to Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. It's really the time of the Masnis, because our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah holds the Chad Bechavre Matzis below Rishon. And therefore, if he holds Chad Bechavre Mitzvah, the Gemara's question is, if our Mishnah holds Chad Bechavre Mitzvah, then our Mishnah is no proof to the position of Rabbi Yehuda versus Reish Lakish, because our Mishnah is not even addressing that issue. I'm actually talking about Chad Bechavre Mitzpas, not talking about Mitzpas Berishon. And therefore, it would not be a support, or the Mishnah would not therefore be a support for Reish Lakish. Okay, let's get into the Gemara, see what the Gemara says. Shema Mino. So the Gemara says, over here, what's the din? Tashma, already Nazir v'sham ha-chaveir v'amar vani vani. You have our Mishnah says, I'm a Nazir, and then his friend heard it and says, vani vani, v'tu lo midei. And stops after that. Sounds like from our Mishnah that what's your made Bapis in the Rishon. Otherwise, why doesn't Vani Vani go on forever? You could have written many more Vanis. Tuba Vani. The Gemara says, Tanaki Rukhla Chashay Veleza. What do you want the Tana to do? Endlessly say Vani? That doesn't make sense. So why do you, he can just say Vani, Vani, to give you an example. So the Gemara says, Velit Nechad, Velishmin and Kulun. So why do you write one and not just write one to show us that you can be mappis and continue? Why do you write two? So I says, Adi Tani, so this is the same answer we gave above. Hutar Rishon, Hutru Kulam, Hutra Achron, Achron Mutar. The first one becomes Mutar, then all of them become Mutar. The last one becomes Mutar, he's not relevant to anyone else. Glanasri, Mechlad, the Ike, and Toy. Again, this mashmah, there's a middle person, there's three people involved here. Mr. Mechlad, Tani, Vani, Vani. So Vani, Vani, and the ratio is not Dafko, it's not come to teach us anything, it's just a parallel to the second half of the Mishnah. Second half of Mishnah talks about a Rishon, an Achron, implying that there's an Emsai, there are three people. How do you create three people? Hareni Nazir, and then you have Bani Bani. That gets you three people. So the Rish of the Mishnah is just creating the case that the Seifa can't speak about. Tashma, we have another proof. Hutar, Rishon, Hutru Kulam. It sounds like from this that if the Rishon was Mutar, then everybody's Mutar. Rishon Hu the Shari. Only if you take away the first one is everybody Mutar. Hi Emsai, low. But if you take away the middle guy, he affects nobody. It sounds like from this that only the first one is relevant. When it comes to Hatpasa, everybody's connected to the first guy. So when we get rid of the first guy, all the Nidre Nizirot go along. But if anybody else along the chain gets a Hataras Nidorim, he affects no one else. Because why the Mishnah used the example of Rishon? They could use that with Emsoi, somebody in the middle. Somebody in the middle, to that Hataras Nidorim, if it's Chat B'Chavei Mitpas, if each one is daisy chained one from the other, then everybody beyond the person who got a Taras Nidorim should be Mutar. Everybody from Harim should be Asur. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention that sounds like it's only the first guy that's relevant here. Emel HaKad Olam Chat B'Chavei Mitpas. Ah, no, really, it's Chat B'Chavei Mitpas. Ah, V'Aidi Dabai Mitna Hutru Kulon. Right, the Mishnah wants to write, everybody's Mutar. Right? Who can make everybody Mutar? That's just the Rishon. The Emsoi, it's not everybody's mutar. Only from him and onward is mutar, but not everybody onward. The Itan Emsoi, you can reach on to Lomishtare. If you say the middle one, then the first guy's not mutar, because it's only people beyond him that are mutar, not before him. Shemachi Itani Rishon, but Rishon, because that's a case where you can clear everybody out. Tashma, so why don't we just make the opposite, Digu? Greg, our mission talks about a Rishon and an Achron. And no Emsoi, so we try to make a diuk from the part of the mission that says Rishon, not talk, make a diuk from the part of the mission that says Achron, what is? Huta Achron, Achron, Mutar, B'Kulana, Sarim. The last guy becomes Mutar, he is Mutar, and no one else. Ah, what? Golikan Achrona Batre, because there's no one else after him. Avale Emsoi, but the middle guy, we can affirm this, the Ika Achrona Batre, if there had been somebody after him, Mishtari, they would have been. Shmami no, Chai B'Chavi Mapis. That's a proof that what? They are daisy chaining, that each one is connected to the one previous to him. If that's the case, when the middle guy is Mutar, then everybody beyond them will be Mutar also. So we can prove from here that it's Chai B'Chavi Mapis. Mar says, no, Mo Mei Melechah B'Kama Mitpasin. No. Everybody is Mapis on the Rishon. Everybody's connected to the first person who took the Ned of the Zeros. Umay Acharon. What does Acharon mean in our Mishnah? Dektani Emsoi. Acharon means Emsoi. Acharon is anybody beyond the first one. So Achron either can mean the last one or the middle one. Anybody beyond the Rishon is called the Achron, and then when they get Hataras Nidorim, they themselves are Mutar, but no one else. Because we are Matbis Rishon. Aditana Rishon Tana Achron. Why did he use the term Achron instead of Emsoi? Because it said Rishon. So when you want to talk about relative to Rishon, everybody else is an Achron. So from our mission, we have no proof, because either you can be Medayik both ways, or each deal can be uprooted by saying that it was just to create a parallel structure or to make the Mishnah simple. So Tashma, the Tanya Behejo. Now we have an explicit Mishnah that proves what we want, that Hutar Rishon, Hutru Kulam. Right? If the first one is Mutar, then everybody, if a first person who took the Ned of the Zeros gets the Hataras Nadarim, everybody is Mutar. Hutar Achon, Achon, Mutar, Kulam, Serim. If the last one in the chain gets Hataras Nadarim, then he is Mutar, but he affects no one else. Hutar Emsoi, if one person in the middle of the chain gets Hataras Nadarim, Himeno Lamata Mutar, from him beyond, anybody past him is gets Mutar with him. Himeno Lamalo Asur, anybody from before him or prior to him is Asur, because they're not related to him. Shmamina, Chad B'Chavi Mapis, Shmamina. From here you can clearly see that it's a daisy chain, that each person is connected to one before him. They're not Mapis Barishon, they're not connecting back to the original person who said Arani Nazir. Each one, when the person says Vani, and then the third person comes and says Vani, he's referencing the second person. When the fourth person comes, he's referencing the third person. So they continue, they daisy chain one off each other. And because of that, each one is reliant on the one prior to him, or all those that are prior to him. So therefore, if you're Matur Neder somewhere in the middle, you affect everybody beyond you, because everybody's connected to you. Unlike the position when you would say everybody's Matur to Rishon, it's only the Rishon that can affect everybody. Everybody else is independent. So Gemara's conclusion is Chad Bechabre Matis. Each one is Matis on the person prior to him and not on the Rishon. So the conclusion of the Gemara based on this is one of two possibilities. Either, according to the way we interpreted the Rosh, maybe the Tosfos read, that Chad Bechabre Matis means that we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyo against the Rish Lakish, because it's not limited to Toch Chedei Dibor, because Toch Chedei Dibor is only of the Rishon. Here it's unlimited because you can keep going daisy chaining down. And that's what anybody who's tied to the Toch Chedei Dibor is, as if he's connected back to the original right? The original person. Or, according to the wisdom of Farish or Tosfos, we're simply going to learn, this Gemara is concluding that our Mishnah is talking about Chad B'Chavri Matis. That's not relevant, again, that's not relevant, or does not machria in the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. They're arguing about how much time do you have, whether it's you're connecting back to the person prior to, or the first person, do you have Tocha de Dibor, or do you just have Achar Toch Dibor? And therefore, the conclusion of this part of the Gemara does not affect the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Okay, let's move on in the Gemara. Hareni Nazir, B'shama Chaver Vamar Pi Kepiv, Shari Kitzarok. So a person says, a person in our Mishnah says, he says he's a Nazir, and the next person says, and heard him and says, my mouth is like your mouth, my hair is like your mouth, he is a Nazir. Mishum Damar Pi Kepiv, Shari Kitzarok, Nazir. Because he said that he is a Nazir, oh, we have a Tosefta that seems to indicate otherwise. Viraminu, Yadai Nazira, Raglai Nazira, if he uses one of his body parts, my hands or my legs, to say that he's a Nazir, lo amar klum, it doesn't work. Roshi Nizira, Kavdi Nizira, Harzei Nazir. If he uses his head or his liver, then he is a Nazir. Zaklal, what's the principle? Dovar Shana Shama Tuyo Bo, Harzei Nazir. Anybody who takes a Neder Nazir based on an organ that is a life-dependent organ, meaning that without that organ he would pass away, it's as if he took a Nazirut with his whole Nishama, with his whole being. Takes a Nazir with the whole being. That's like saying, Hareni Nazir, I am a Nazir. So therefore, if it's an Aver that is his life depends on, then we say he is a Nazir. If it's not an Aver that his life depends on, then we do not say that. So when it comes to his liver or his head, without those he won't live, therefore he's a Nazir. But when it comes to an arm or a leg, a person can live without those, and therefore he's not a Nazir. So in our case over here, by Seyar and Piv, without his hair, without his lips, he should be able to live. So why is he a Nazir in our Mishnah, not in the case of the Tosefta? Right, so what Rav Yehuda says, no, he said, when he said pi kepiv, he didn't just say pi kepiv, he said pi mepiv mi yayin. He added in the word wine, or tzarika tzarel milagos. So he mentions one of the Yisurei Nizirut. And since he mentions one of the Yisurei Nizirut, then that allows him here to create the Nizirut, because he's mentioning one of the Yisurei Nizirut. And that's the difference between our Mishnah and the Tosefta. In our Mishnah, he explicitly mentions one of the Yisurei Nizirut, whereas in the Braisa, or the Tosefta that we brought down, there he only mentions the body part, but not any of the Yisurei Nizirut. That's the way the Mefarish learns, that the Rabbi Yehuda's answer is that he explicitly says this. Tosfos, on the other hand, in the Rush, learned differently. Tosfos in the Rush says, it's not that he literally said that, but that's the implied from the context of our Mishnah. What's the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa? Our Mishnah is in a case where someone else already took a Neder Nizirut, and you're trying to attach to his Neder Nizirut. So from the context, when you say Piv Kepiv, or you say Sa'ari Kesa'aro, it's clear that you mean your mouth is like his mouth, to be Aser Miyayin, or your hair is Aser Milagos, because you're in the context of someone taking Neder Nizirut. Whereas in the Tosefta is a person trying to create for himself a Neder Nizirut. Nobody else took a Neder Nizirut. He's trying to create a Neder Nizirut. You can't create a Neder Nizirut unless you say something that a Neshama is Tuluyapo, or you say explicitly what is needed. So the Nafkamina between these two Shotim will be, what happens if I say, Yadai Nizira Militame Meitim, Leminogeam Meitim, Ragli Nizira Milalech Beta Kvaros. If he says, my hands are restricted from touching the mace, and he says, my feet are restricted from going into the Beit HaKvarot, like the Lashon HaTosefta. So according to the Mefarish, if you explicitly say one of these three Nizirut, that works. So according to Mefarish, that would be a good Nizirut. According to Tosafot and the Rush, that wouldn't work. Why? Because you're still trying to create the Nizirut. When you're trying to create a Nizirut, you can't do that unless you're in the context of someone else who already has taken a Neder Nizirut, and you're still not in that context. And the other way around is true too, that if it comes to Yad and Regel, according to Tosfot, in our Mishnah, if you heard someone else say Hareni Nazir, right, and then you say Yadai Ki Yadav, or Raglai Ki Raglav, that would work according to Tosfot, because you are trying to connect to someone already created a Nizirut. So if you say my hands or my legs, we're going to interpret your hands to me not touching Meitim, and your legs not entering the Beit HaKvarot, and therefore you'll be a Nazir. Because according to the Mefarish, even if you say Yadai and Raglai, it won't help you in our Mishnah, because the difference is what you have to say one of these three Nizirut. So that would be a Nafkamina between the two Perishim, that of the Mefarish and the Tosfos and the Rush. All right, on to the next Gemara. Right? So if she says, I'm a Nazira, and then her husband hears that, and he says, me too, any yochala hafer. He can't be mefer. So we had this question. This Gemara came up in the Gemara in the Nedarim. The Gemara wants to know in the Gemara in the Nedarim, Yibailu, Baal mi aker aker oduma mi gogoyis. When a Baal is made for the nether of his wife, does he go and oker it mi karo? He undoes it mi karo like the Hataras Nedarim? Or maybe he cuts it off. Right? So Lamai Nafkamina, what's the difference between whether the Baal is oker it mi karo or he cuts it off? Leisha Shanadra ben Nozir. The Nafkamina is a case where a woman took a nether nizirut v'shama chaverto, and then her friend heard about it, Bamra Vani, and she says, me too. Bishama Bala, and then the husband of the first one, Shambala Shabishona, hears about Vahifala, and he's made for her nether. Iyamart miakir akir, if you say that he uproots it mi ikaro, then the second woman, Hayinami Ishtari, the second woman is mutar, because she was matis her nether with the first woman who took a nether nizirut. And now if you say the Baal takes away her nether nizirut entirely, there is no nether nizirut left over here. So she can't be matis, there was nothing for her to be matis with. Biyamar Migos Goyes, whereas if you say that the Baal is only Mayfair prospectively, not retroactively, then Ihi Ishtori, his wife is Mutar. But Chaverta Asira, her Chavera remains Asura. Why does she remain Asura? Because she was Matis at the time that this woman was a Nazir, or a Nazira. She was a Nazira, and then her husband stopped it in the middle. But until that point, she was a Nazira, and the original, her friend, was Matis, her Nazirut, on the original part of the Nazirut of this woman. And based on that, she is now going to be Asur. My, what's the halacha? Do we say when the Baal is made for the Nazirut of his wife, it is Oker Miyikara, it's retroactive, and it's as if the Nazirut never took place? Or do we say Migos Goyis? Do we say that it's prospective, and then until this point she was a Nazira, and only cuts off from here going forward? Tashma, our Mishnah, this Gemara Nedarim also brought down, right, that Harei Nazira B'Shama Baalo, she says I'm a Nazira, and then her husband hears it, V'Amar Vani, me too. Ain't no yochel hafer. He can't be made for the nether. V'isakadatcha bal migas goyis leifer liishto behuditzar. If you think that the husband, when he does the farsa nedarim, is only prospectively, then why can't he be made for his wife's nether? When he's made for his wife's nether, his nether stays in place. Because when he said v'ani, he connected with his wife's original nether nizirut. And therefore, he'll remain a nazir, and she will be free from nizirut prospectively, because where you can't say the opposite, you can't say mi akar akar. Why can't you say that he's okir mi karo retroactively? Because if he is made for her nether and it's retroactive, he's also going to take away his nether. He's going to ruin his nether. And we know the principle that you lo yachel devaro. You are not able to be okir your own nether. You have to go to a chacham. You need to go to a third party. Atalo yachel aval acherim miachlim lecho. Right, so that you can't be mechel your nether, but others can be machel for you, and that can only be done by a third party. But here, if he's made for the nether, and it takes it away retroactively, not only is she going to be mutar, he's going to be mutar, and that we won't allow. So it must be that the Baal is migas goyis, that the husband only cuts it off prospectively. If he cuts it off prospectively, then when he said vani, he was matkis with her original nether nizirut, and he is asur, and she now is mutar prospectively in the time that he did a parts nedarim. So he's talking about me, this is late for the Ishto, elash mamina, must be mal mi aker aker. Must be that the husband is what? Oka the nether mikaro. And that's why he can't do a farce in the dorm here. Someone says, no, the Olam migas goyis. No, really? That the woman, when he does a farce in the dorm, that is prospective. If it's prospective, then why can't he be made for the nether? Someone says, didn't know the lefer law. He could do a farce in the dorm. But the problem is, behind the times of the law, must be made for. Why can't he be made for her? Cave and dorm law. Va'ani. When he says, v'ani t'manda markayim laichi dami. It's as if he was mekayim her nether. If he's Mekayim or Nether, he can't go then back. When he says Vani, he's saying, make two statements. One, Vani means, yes, I like your Nether Nizirut. And number two is, I am a Nazir. And by saying, you are a Nazir, I like your Nizirut, and therefore Vani, me too, that is as if he's Mekayim or Nether. If he's Mekayim or Nether, he can't later go back and change his mind and be made for the Nether. So, if he goes back and does a Taras Nedarim on his Hakama, which you know can do, then he can be made for a nether. Below, low. But as long as he hasn't done that, then the nether remains. He can't be made for the nether, not because he's not allowed to be made for the nether. He can't be made for the nether because he was already mekayim her nether. Lamati mefer. Right, Tashma, another proof to this question of whether a Baal is mi'akar akor or migos goyis. You have ha'isha shenodra bin nazir. A woman took a nether to be frishad behem ta. and she separated out her animals. Whether she just separated out her chatat here or separated all of her animals here. Right, some of the Rishonim just talk about the chatas. Others say that she was also mafrish the Ola and the Shlomim here, and we'll see why in a minute. And then her Baal, her husband, was Mayfair. He nullified the nether, her nether Nizirut. Ishalo, I thought, if the animals belong to him, I thought they must taste the material bay there. Taste the material over here doesn't mean go out and get a mum, but here means chulin, goes back to him. Because he only allows her to take his animals for the purpose of karbanot she is chayav in. And here, she's not chayav in any karbanot, because he was made fair her nether. V'ishalah, I thought, if the animals belong to her, if the animal belongs to her, chatat tamut, then the chatat has to die. So now why? Why does the chatat have to die? So isakadat says, bal mi'akir akir, sipakle l'chulin. If the husband is okir the nether mi'ikaro, if he retroactively gets rid of the nether as if it was never there, then why does this woman have her chatat have to go to miso? It's as if she never had a nether in zirut, as if her hekdesh of the animals was bita'ut, by mistake. And since it was a hekdesh bita'ut, then we say there was if no hekdesh here, her chatat should go back to being chulin. Elalav shmamina must be that Baal migas goyiz. Must be that the Baal only cuts it off prospectively. If the Baal cuts it off prospectively, when she took the nether nizirut, she was a nazir for the first part. And when she separated out her behemoth, she was a full-fledged nizirut with the intent of finishing off her nizirut. And if she was thinking about finishing off her nizirut, then when she made the kodesh, or when she makdish these animals are good karbanot. And when you have a karban chatat, right, now you have a karban chatat, ola unshlamim, that are good. Now this chatat has to die. Why? Because it's a chatat that doesn't, no longer is roi to get on the mizbeach. Because it was kodesh in a kedusha that was roi, but now there's nobody around to bring the karban. She's no longer in a zira. There's nobody to bring the karban. So that goes to the chatat. What about the ola and shlamim? What about the ola and shlamim? So we can talk about, we'll talk about that in a minute when the Gemara answers up the question. We'll talk about what happens with the ola and the shlamim. So the Gemara says, from here we can prove that Baal Migos Goy, that he cuts it off prospectively. So the Gemara says, no. No, the Baal is okir the nether mi karo, retroactively, it's as if there was no nether. If there's no nether, why is her chatas remain a chatas? Find a time, kevon, the lo tricha kapara. One gear says three, came in the lo tricha kapara, and the other gear says the shonim, came in the tricha kapara. Have a kechatas, shemetu balea, that she needs a chatas, and it's like a chatas that it's a chatas that it's owner has passed away. The Gemara, we have a lock of the Moshe Sinai, the Chata Shemetu Baleo Tamud. The Chatas whose owner died, right, they are, that Chatas must go to death, that it cannot be used, not go back to Chulin, it can't be podet, it's led to die. So now, why is this? What happened here? If the Baal, so now we see in the Baal is Miakakar, it's as if the whole Neder Nizero disappeared. So there are two possibilities based on what the Mishonim say, or the Girsa and the Gemara is. If we say the Girsa is the Lo Tzricha Kapara, that she doesn't need a Kapara, what happened? When she separated out the Chatos, she believed at that moment in time that she needed a Kapara, and she separated out the Chatos with a full in mind, knowing that possibility her husband could be made for the nether, and nevertheless she was Makdish to Behemoth the Chatos, and now when her husband is made for the nether Nizirut, the Nizirut is totally gone from her. The Nizirut is going down from her, then there is no owner here to bring this chatas to the mizbeach. So it's the equivalent of having a chatas that has no owners. Because here the owner disappeared, not because they died, but the owner disappeared because she's no longer a nizira. That's how to read it according to the Mefarish, and Tosfos on the next Amud brings down a girsa similar to this. Whereas the other girsa in the Gemara is that Kevan de Tzricha Kapara. She needs Kapara. What do you mean she needs Kapara? Ah, who do we know says that a nazir needs Kapara? That's Rabbi Elazar Kapler. Right, Rabbi Kapla believed that a nazir is chote. Why? Because tzirat momen ayayin. They withheld themselves from wine. So they do need a chatos. But the problem here is that she's not a nazir anymore. So here, the Baal comes along and it's made for her neder, nullifies her neder. Right, that is nullifying it retroactively, as if there was no neder in the zirut. But yet, this woman, for the period of time that before her husband nullified the neder, she didn't drink wine. She was tzirat momen ayayin. So according to Rabbi Elazar Kapla, she sin. She did not drink wine for that period of time, even though she was not a Nazira. In the end, it turns out she's not a Nazira, but she still acted in the way that Nazira did, and therefore, right, she is a Choteh. Ah, if she's a Choteh, then when she separated her Chatos, that was a good Chatos. Problem is, what? She can't get this Chatos to the Mizbeach. Because the only one who can bring a chatas to the mizbeach is a nizira who completes her nizirut. So it's the equivalent of a chatas shemetu ba'aleha. Again, there's a need for this chatas because she has mamin ayayin. So therefore, the kodesh is tofes, even though the nether went away entirely. But what about bringing it on the mizbeach? You can't bring it because it's suffi- you have a chatas here that doesn't have any owner that needs to bring it to the mizbeach. The nizirut is gone, and if the nizira is gone, she no longer needs to bring it to the mizbeach. What about the Ola and Shlamim? So you can simply read the Gemara, it says Behemta, Behema, and Behema is just referring to Chatas, and that's the only discussion in the Gemara. The Rosh, on the other hand, mentions the Ola and the Shlamim here, and I'll just read the Rosh inside. The Rosh says, the Ola and Shlamim Yikruvu. The Ola and Shlamim can be brought on the Mizbech. Why? Because an Ola and Shlamim can be brought as Karbanei Nidava, as voluntary offerings. Came into Hupshru, since they were separated out, Vinechalim Ashlamim Yom Echad Chome Shalmin Azir. And this shlamim that you bring will be eaten like a shlamim of a nazir for only one day and one night, as opposed to a regular shlamim which gets 2 days and one night. Beinatunim lechem. You don't have to bring the lechem. You don't have to bring the bread that's usually associated with the shlamim of a nazir. And he was not saying even if you separate out the lechem, you can be posed to them because they were not ever made kadosh. So according to the Ran, that the olah and shlamim are not discussed here because they're not a problem. You can be mad with them. Even if he is made for the her nazirut, and they are kodesh, you can bring the olah shlamim because they don't relate to kapara. They don't relate to kapara. They can be brought as a voluntary offering. So that she can bring on the mizbeach, no problem. The problem is the chatos here. The chatos is a vehicle of kapara. And someone who's chayevet to bring a kapara is the only one who can bring this chatos. And either because the mi'aker aker, she's no longer a nizira, and she was tirat mamayayin, she needs kapara. That's why it's a chatas, because she was tirat mamayayin. She can't bring it because she's no longer a nizira. Or if you say Baal Mikos Goyiz, when she made the Chatas Kadosh, she was really, what? That was a time when it would make sense to make a Kodesh. Now she's no longer in Zira, she can't bring the Chatas. So either way, right, we have a Chatas here that was made for a purpose, and yet there's no Baal, no one to bring it to the Mizbeach, and therefore the Chatas must die, as opposed to the Ola in Shlomit. Now the Gemara brings another proof. Tashma, Isha, Shnodra, Benozir, Vaita, Shulte, Yainu, Metamel, Meitim. You have a woman who took a net in Nizirut, and she was drinking wine and being Matan HaMesim. She gets Malkus. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilema Zalo Hefer. Right, if you say that she was not, right, if you say Ilema Zalo Hefer La Baal, the Baal was never made for a nether, Trichla Meimar. You have to tell me that. She's like any other Nazir that they took a net in Nizirut, and now she's being violating the net in Nizirut. Of course she's going to get Malkus. She's an Eifer La Baal. It's a case where her husband was made for law, and yet she still gets Malkus prior to the Afara. What does that show you? That shows you that it's Migos Goyis. That's only prospective that the Baal gets rid of it. But that was prior to when the Baal came along. That was a good Neder Nizirut. It's a good Neder Nizirut. That's why she gets Malkus. If you think that the husband gets rid of it retroactively, I might suffer it by him. Why does she get Malkus? You can see from this that the Baal is Migos Goyis. He only creates it, he only does it prospectively. The Gemara says, No, the Baal does ruin it retroactively. If he gets rid of it retroactively, Mishum the Tani Sefer. So why, if he gets rid of it retroactively, why is she getting Malkus here? The Gemara says, No. So Fegadet Arbayin is a simple case where she took an end of Zirut and the Baal wasn't made for it. If that's the case, why does it need to be written in the Mishnah at all? The Gemara says, Mishum the Tani Sefer. Hey, for La Baal, La Bihilo Yada. The case where he's made for the nether for her, he nullifies it for her, and then she continues to violate the nether zid, right? That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Even though she thinks she's still in her zirut and she's violating the nezirut, after the Baal nullifies it, she does not get Malkus. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So Tananami Reisha Sofeget. So then it brought in the first case, the opposite case where she gets Malkus. It's a case where her husband wasn't made fair, and she gets Malkus. It is a simple case. But the Mishnah only brought that as an introduction, an introduction to the main case, which is the second case, where she doesn't get Malkus. But there's no chiddush, and therefore we can't prove whether Baal is Migos Goyis, only Aker. So this Gemara will get to tomorrow. This Gemara will continue to try to bring proofs to either side of this. All right, we'll stop here.